You are listening to Proof Text, a Glossa House podcast exploring scripture and all things related to it. New episodes are released daily. For more information, check out glossahouse.com and subscribe to our channels on Spotify and YouTube. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Proof Text. I'm Michael Halcombe. It's good to be with you. I'm with J.M. Smith. I don't know why I'm laughing.
I don't either. I want to know what did I miss?
Yeah, I don't even know why I'm laughing. I think it's because when I hit the record button, it like stutters. I don't know. I literally have no idea why I'm laughing.
It's late on my end, but it's not late where you are, so you can't have the excuse of being like late night punch drunk.
It's only 4:30 here. Maybe it's because it started off odd. Yeah. Hello, welcome to Proof Text. Thanks for being with us. I don't know. That's unusual. Anyways, enough of the...
real life, man. It's real life.
Yeah, real life. So, and I just had a door slam in the background. So,
real life. Kind
of fun stuff. Real life. All right. So, this is 10 Questions with J.M. Smith, and I'm Michael Halcombe. J.M. runs the Disciple Dojo. DiscipleDojo.org. Check that out. All kinds of free stuff on there. And in 10 questions here, we just take a single Bible verse and try not to rip it out of context, but try to ask questions of it that help us get at the context and at the meaning. A sort of common malady in especially Western culture, where Christianity is pervasive, is that we tend to pull Bible verses out and just let them hang out on their own and proof text rather than prove text. So that's what this is all about. This is 10 questions and I get 5, JM gets 5. I throw a random verse his way. He has no idea where we're going, which is also part of the fun. But now we're going to learn. Today we're in the Old Testament. We're at Isaiah 53:5. And a lot of people know this verse. One of the most famous in the Old Testament, especially during Advent, Christmastide. Here's how the NIV says it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I cannot read the last clause there without hearing Mac Powell in my head singing, by his wounds we are healed.
That's what he's the guy from Third Day, right?
Yes.
Is that right? Man, that's going back.
That is, yep. It is. So, this looks a lot longer in the English than it does in the Hebrew, which is, I guess, typically the case. Do you want to take the first question? Or you want me to?
It's Old Testament, so that means you go first.
Okay. All right. Easy question right out of the gate. Who is he? He was pierced for our transgression. Who? Who was pierced for your transgression? This is Old Testament. Jesus ain't around yet. So who was pierced for our transgressions?
All right. My first question is, this is starting off, whoever this he is, it starts off with Vahu Machalal. But he being, it's a participle, being pierced. Right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm just making sure I'm not seeing things, but that's
Hual participle.
No, that's a polal. It's a, whichever form it is, it's a participle. So why is it translated in English as a perfect? He was pierced, and not as a participle. He being pierced, or the one being pierced, is how I would literally translate it.
Yeah. In English, you have a present tense participle versus a past tense participle. Ing, that is ing versus ed, right? So present tense participle being like running, or sorry, let's do a different one. Forming, past tense participle being formed. Coloring, colored. Yeah, so, I mean, you can have a present tense and past tense participle. Hebrew may work a little different there, but.
Yeah. I mean, to my knowledge in Hebrew, the participles, it doesn't have any time aspect to it. If it's passive.
So it's just going to always be an ing.
Yeah, if it's passive, it's being pierced or piercing. And so this looks like a passive participle. So that's why I would say being pierced.
Okay. Well, that makes me modify my first question slightly. If it is meant to be translated, but he was being pierced or is being pierced and crushed, is being crushed, was being crushed. Like, if we translate it that way, still, who is he? Yeah, but
right,
good.
Right.
I like the and is it my turn again? Are
it's
you,
your turn
are you
again.
Finished or no?
Yeah, no. I just want to know why. Yeah, that's my question. Is why are they translating a participle? I mean, it's not like you can't do that. I just want to know the rationale behind not leaving it sort of a woodenly literal, and he being pierced. Da 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 da.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to beat you to it on this one. I'm going to ask, what's the Septuagint say?
That's where I was about to go. So good chat.
Yeah. Etravmatiste. So we have here an aorist passive, and it's not a participle. It's just a regular old aorist passive verb. Aorist middle with a passive function. And I like that etravma. It's where we get our word trauma. Traumatize from, right? Moreover, he himself was traumatized or experienced trauma on account of our lawlessness. Yeah. So that's interesting. Why do we have the participle in Hebrew translated as just a regular verb in the Septuagint?
My second question is, I want to stay on this machalal for a minute, because halal has a couple of different meanings in Hebrew. So which halal is this? One is, and the only reason I ask is Hallett Lexicon has both, or has Isaiah 53:5 listed in both definitions. But one of the meanings is to profane.
Yeah.
And the other meaning is to pierce or to wound. So is this a case of both of those meanings? Is this intentionally ambiguous? Because context, I think, I don't know, which of these would fit the context better? Halal one, profaned, or halal two, pierced?
What about halal three, bore?
I don't have interest. Which lexicon is that you're looking at?
I don't know which one they have. Which
is that
one this
BDB?
Is,
Brown
see.
Driver Briggs. Because there is a halal three in Hallett, but it's to play the flute or to whistle, which pretty sure it's not that. But I don't have.
Yeah, which one is this? That's a good question. Yeah, to bear. It doesn't tell me which lexicon it is.
It has to bear, or did you say bore, like B-O-R-E, or
That's what like it says to bore.
To bore a hole.
But I was just assuming.
Oh. To bore would be to pierce. All
right, totally. Yeah, I was totally taking that to bear.
Okay. Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. To he was bored. B-O-R-E-D. Well, that's yeah, so even like, funnier. He's like,
that is, yeah.
Boring.
That's people watching this right now with, yeah, as, us, as we discuss lexicons.
That's great. Bada boom, bada bing. That's good. Oh, is it back on me now? So are you done? Or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Although my right. next question will be about the same word. So.
Okay. okay. Just a contextual question. An intertextual question. How did this verse get connected to Jesus? All right, so I'm going to leave that there for listeners, viewers to try to figure it out for themselves.
Hmm.
I want to issue a challenge without saying that this is predictive prophecy, you know, a la like Josh McDowell or something like that. How are there any other ways that this could have got connected to Jesus? That's the question. All right.
My third question is going to be, Mechalal being some translations. I mean, King James has wounded, NIV has pierced. Usually King James would go with the one for that made the most Christological sense, at least in my head. I would usually associate it with that. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if you say pierced, that is extremely Christological in terms of nails through the hand, spear in the side. Like, and I could mm-hmm. see why Jewish translations would want to go with wounded as opposed to pierced. So that's my question is why, if we do think that it's the meaning of halal, not profane, but to bore, to pierce, to poke, to wound, how specifically, how like every wound is a puncture of some sort, I guess. So how much can we press this on the whole idea of piercing versus just a general wound? Like a cut or something, because piercing just seems like I could imagine a rabbi reading this and being like a non-Christian being like, you Christians, you're reading too much into this. And so right. is that the case? Are Christians that read this as pierced, like the NIV, reading too much into it? Or is that actually the right nuance?
Very good. Well, my first question was, who is he? He was pierced, he was crushed, or he is being pierced, he is being crushed, pieces on him by his wounds. But my next question, I think four, is who is the our transgressions, our iniquities, us peace, we are healed. So who is the our, us, we? Yeah.
Mm. That's a really good question. In light of the whole servant identity concept and corporate versus mm-hmm. singular, that's a great question. My fourth question is being pierced or being wounded. The next in Hebrew is starts with a mem, and so it would be. Him and he being pierced or wounded from our transgression. Mm. Whereas I would expect if it was for our transgression, it might be, you know, la and then transgression. So
yeah.
men, the men prefix, men is usually you know, from, or it's a comparative sometimes, but I don't think that fits this case at all. So yeah, why is that a mem rather than like a lamed or maybe an al, or, you know, some Hebrew word that's like for the sake of or something like that? Yeah, just that's I'm questioning this men prefix, pierced from our transgression.
Man, I have a couple questions, but, you know, just one observation. I'm noticing all the string of mems right here. Mechulam, and then so on and so forth, right? There's like a string of five words there. Just curious if there's some sort of alliteration kind of thing going on there. But my last question is, you know, these are all, they're kind of odd statements. Like, you know, if I do something wrong, I get in trouble for it, and that usually will negatively affect the people around me. But this is saying, if I do something wrong, somebody else gets in trouble for it, and that positively affects everybody around me. Like, it does, the logic of it kind of breaks for me a little bit, right? How, so if you were pierced for somebody else, something someone else did wrong, how is that good for you? Like, you're suffering because of that, and everybody connected to you is going to suffer to some degree for that. And like, if you're crushed for someone else's wrong, that's going to affect you, and it'll benefit the person who should have been crushed. But, you know, if the punishment that brought us peace, that's interesting, the idea that punishment, one, can bring peace, but two, that I do something wrong, somebody else is punished for it, and then that brings the rest of us all peace. Like, that just seems like unjust. That'd be hard to live with. And finally, like, how are you healed by someone else's wounds? Like, if I, you know, get shot, how does that leaves me hurt? Like, how does my wound heal anybody else? Like, so the whole thing, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but like, it seems kind of nonsensical. Doesn't make a lot of sense. It's a lot of these, like, it seems outlandish statements.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not thinking about this Christologically, it seems absolutely outlandish. So, how, my this last question is, how, especially if we're not thinking of this Christologically, and I would encourage everybody who reads this to sort of push pause on the Christology button for a minute and deal with it in its Old Testament setting. How do we make sense of this, especially if we're not making sense of it Christologically? And then the part B to that is, how do we make sense of it even if we do understand it Christologically? Those are good things for people to wrestle with, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gets into theology, and it also gets into intertextuality, like you said. How would pre-Christian readers have understood this?
Right.
I get so bogged down in I got one more, and I'm trying to decide. One is just relatively inconsequential versus, or it's like a grammatical thing about the Hebrew. And okay, well, I think I can combine it into one meaningful question. So the last two words, nirpa lanu, is that first nirpa, that's rafa, the word for to heal or to be healed. So it's it's a third masculine singular, perfect third masculine singular, So I don't know how I would translate this like woodenly literally, but it's like being healed or having been healed to us. Maybe any Hebrew professor watching is probably like, no, idiot. But that lanu at the end, to us, it seems like excess. So all that to say, the healing for us or to us in the perfect, like, why is it in the perfect and why is it almost a doubled? It's smoothed over in all the translations. It's like, we are healed. We are healed. We are healed. But in Hebrew, it's not we would be a first plural. First person plural would be we, but it's not a first person plural. It's a third person singular. So is it like he brought healing or he was healed for us? The question is as jumbled in my head as it is right here on video. But that's what's, yeah, I don't know. That's what's going on.
Yeah, well, the Septuagint goes to first person plural. By the wounds of him, we ourselves are healed. That's interesting. The Septuagint does that.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to wonder too, given the construction of the verse, dude. I mean, you keep getting the new constantly throughout this verse, and you wonder if it's sort of a constraint on how things are worded to keep like poetic balance or something like that, right? You get it four times in this verse. I don't know why it's not picking up that fourth one there, but you get it four times.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, poetry, it's poetry. So you always have to be, hold things real loose. But I mean, I'm just looking at different English translations. By his wounds, we were healed. By his stripes, we are healed. By his bruises, we were healed. Like, were versus are, what tense is it? And does that affect how we try to apply this? Does that affect how faith movement tries to apply this? And, you know, I've heard people preach sermons about, like, you know, God will always heal everybody because it says it right here. We are healed.
Yep.
And they just, people try to build a lot on the tenses. And so,
Yeah. Well, that raises a whole discussion about what is healing? And then some people may roll their eyes at that, but that's a really important question. What is healing? And also, what needs to be healed?
Yeah.
I just did a paper in Chicago about a year ago at a conference, and in that paper I was arguing that, in fact, like, so the question comes up, might there be wheelchairs in the afterlife? And I'm suggesting that, yeah, I think so. And a lot of people would take issue with that. But that's sort of where I'm at. I've read testimonies from, like, people with Down syndrome and autism. And, you know, people who don't have Downs or autism tend to think that those people need to be healed to be made normal like us. Well, what is normal? That's another question. But so will, and then the same people tend to think that someone with Downs or autism will be normal like me, you know, in the afterlife. Not that I'm normal, right? But, you know, you get the idea. Right. Mm. But, you know, certain people with Downs or autism will say, no, this is like me. This is who I am. This is not something I need to be healed of. You know, like if I'm healed of this, then I cease to be me. I cease to, like, I won't have my personality. Like, this is so much a part of who I am. It's not wholly me, but it shaped me and made me. And, you know, maybe it's actually you that needs to be healed of your terrible perspective, you know.
Or maybe both.
So I don't know, there's all kinds of questions.
Yeah, or maybe both. Maybe both conditions are so far below what we are should be that both will be experienced, like we'll all experience unimaginable degree of
some
transformation.
Sort of change.
Yeah. That we can't some put sort of into words.
Yeah. This is a really fun conversation. Like, it would be fun just to talk about what's often called disability. I don't use that word myself, but that'd be a fun podcast to do and explore that. But anyways, we're out of time. So we're going to stop here and maybe we'll pick up on that a different time. But good to see you, JM. Dude, thanks for your time and pushing me. I appreciate that. I always am learning on these, even in the episodes we've been recording. Last few, learned some great stuff, seen things I've never seen before. So always grateful. Friends, go check out DiscipleDojo.org, the Disciple Dojo YouTube page, and go to GlossHouse.com and check out the GlossHouse YouTube page as well. Like, subscribe, share on all those channels. And we're going to stop here, friends. Say we hope that helps.
Interested in growing your ancient language skills but not sure where to start? GlossHouse can help. From illustrated readers and short stories to lexicons and grammars, GlossHouse offers a variety of resources for beginning, intermediate, and experienced ancient language learners. Head to glossahouse.com today. GlossHouse, language resources for the global community.